Is that a Moog synthesizer?
I think it is a Moog synthesizer, Wendy, yes. Oh.
Or a little ant, St. Adam ant?
Might be. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. This is Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. We hope you're having a good one. If you want to join in, 312-981-7200, but you already know that. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning to you. It is a lovely day. I hope you've enjoyed the summer because the temps will be dropping.
Yeah, I think we've seen, I'm not going to say the last of it. We'll still get a burst every once in a while of nice weather, but your 70s and 80s are probably coming to an end.
I heard Tom Skilling yesterday on the Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis talking about this is the 100th and something day of 80 plus degrees.
Really?
And if we get a couple more, we're going to break the all-time record.
Oh, well, let's try harder then. We all need to get together and make this happen.
I'm a bit of a weather geek.
Yeah, yeah. Several things to talk about. Oh, well, first of all, on the show today, Morgan Kolkmeyer, meteorologist over at WGN Television. She'll join us in just a little bit. Dr. John Duffy and Tony Fulmer, who we saw on TV yesterday.
Everybody's poaching our guests.
Yeah,
we don't have many.
Yep. But the ones we have are now being poached by other outlets.
I know.
That's fine. Tony has TV star written all over him.
He really does.
So you knew eventually he'd show up somewhere. So we're very happy for him. Yeah, he's at the Shelley Nursery in Wilmette. It's right across from Panda Express. You can't miss it. I have to tell you, I saw A Star Is Born.
You did?
Yeah, I did. And you know what surprised me a lot?
How beautiful Lady Gaga is without makeup.
Well, first of all, you're right. She is. That didn't surprise me. I was kind of geared up for that. And she's really good in it. She's very good in it.
How about you were surprised at Bradley Cooper's singing voice?
Bradley Cooper sings very well. The music in there is phenomenal. Really good music. He's decided to change his voice for the character. And his voice sounds somewhere between Sam Elliott, who's in the movie.
Love him.
And he even cops to the fact in the movie that he stole his voice. And Jeff Bridges, it's a real raspy, slower pitch than you're used to from Bradley Cooper. He's really good in it. Lady Gaga's really good in it. But here's what surprised me. I didn't see this coming at all. Andrew Dice Clay is in the movie. He plays Lady Gaga's father.
And Dada Gaga?
Dada Gaga. And he's really good. I never in a million years thought I'd say that about Andrew Dice Clay, because he was doing stand-up at the same time I was doing stand-up, and anytime he showed up somewhere, hickory dickory dock, oh my God, again, really? This? Really?
He was also in that, I believe it was HBO's Vinyl, and I swear I didn't know it was him at first, well, because he was a good actor.
Yes. Now, when you see him, he's aged a bit, and I maybe it's partially the character because they have to make him look like he's Lady Gaga's father. But I guess age-wise, I guess that could stack up. He could be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could be her parents.
Yeah, we could be her, but we're not.
I wish I was.
That would be interesting. That would be your daughter. But like above all else, like the movie's really good. The music's really good. But I was just floored by him because I didn't expect to ever like him in anything. And then he shows up and he's not just unrecognizable. He's not doing that character at all. You know,
he's acting.
He's acting and he's really good at it. So good for him.
The hickory dickory dock.
He doesn't do hickory dickory dock even once in the movie.
That's his real persona. So when he acts, he surprises you.
Well, I can't remember what his real name is. His real name is not Andrew Dice Clay. That was just a character he kind of came up with. But remember, he did that thing like he was the tough comedian. He'd show up and he was the tough guy.
Whoa,
yeah.
Hey.
And then he goes on Arsenio Hall's show. This is years ago. And he starts crying because he said no one respects him and everybody makes fun of him. And he's crying on Arsenio's show. And I just went, oh, boy, you have fallen off the rails, you know? And then he pulls off something like this. And he's been in other movies. He was in a Woody Allen movie a couple years ago that he was pretty good in. I've seen him in other stuff, and I always go, hey, yeah, he's pretty good. But he was really good in this. Shockingly good.
Well, I'm kind of...
And Sam Elliott's always good, by the way.
I love him.
He's just great.
I love him so much. John is on the phone with us and wants to say something. Good morning,
yeah,
John.
I saw the movie yesterday, and I was thinking the same thing, Wendy, what you said. How beautiful Lady Gaga is without, you know, with natural hair, without the crazy makeup and the meat dresses, and the, and she looked so much better when in the movie when she changed that orange hair. I mean, she looked so beautiful with her natural hair.
She does, Wendy. And both my wife and I, when we went to see the movie, we wore meat clothes, you know, just because we're fans. I wore meat shorts and a meat shirt, and my wife had a meat skirt on, and, it felt right.
And you had dogs come in the theater.
Yeah, dogs
with
kept
you.
Bothering us.
So what about the Dice Man? Did you think he did a good job, John?
He was great. I mean, everybody, they're going to get a busload of Oscars. The whole crew is that was in that movie is going to get, you know, Oscar nominations.
I'm glad you liked it, John.
Thank you for calling. And Andrew Dice Clay now wants to leave the movie industry on a high note, so he's retiring.
Is that
now
it for him?
That's
he's
what
done.
He said.
So we don't have Robert Redford anymore. We don't have any. All the great actors, Wendy, are calling it a day. Isn't that sad? We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to Morgan Kolkmeier from Channel 9. Stick around. It's Bill Effen. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
And how we do with the graphics?
Hey, I'm not proud of what's about to happen, you guys. I also need to make a disclaimer. I fully put an entire weathercast together today, and this is what I'm getting here this morning.
Wow, so, three sheets of paper. Looks
things
like.
I didn't think I'd do when I made it to Chicago.
Yeah, that's all right.
For
you
sure.
Got this.
So let's get through your forecast, because lucky for you, I did at least get an early in forecast. Right now, we've got
this is something that actually Morgan Kolkmeier should be proud of, because she drew the weather map this morning and the forecast. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, you guys.
Morgan, what happened?
Oh, it was a disaster. It was yesterday morning, and probably 10 minutes before going on air, both our main computer and our backup computer just completely crashed with, like, no way of getting it back up and running for hours.
So you pre-planned that at that point by getting three giant poster boards or pieces of paper ready to roll.
Probably. I mean, it was in, like, during the news block, they were dragging in the easel and we were pinning papers. So there was really no plan in place.
Do you think Skilling did this to you on purpose? Did Tom Skilling maybe do this
sabotage.
To mess with your head?
Yeah, he's like, let's test a rookie, see if she's really meant to be here.
First of all, you do a great job on the WGN Morning TV News. Ever since we got our puppy, we get up at 6:30 in the morning, and WGN TV News is on all day long.
Thank you.
You're very highly popular with puppies. I just want everyone to know.
Yeah.
So I'm watching you do this, and you're right in the forecast. Today, I believe, is a high of 83, but the temperatures are going to drop. But what amazed me is the speed and accuracy at which you drew the United States of America.
You know what? I'm happy you said that, because somebody tweeted me and told me it looked like I was drawing a turtle. So you kind of forget how to draw those things.
I wouldn't be able to do that on a dime. I mean, you know, Florida.
Right.
But then you really nailed it.
You're kind of like, okay, there's a hump there for Texas. And I skipped all the states in between and just drew a little over for Illinois.
Morgan, was there any panic on your behalf at all?
No.
No?
I mean,
good.
I think that's kind of the fun in it.
Yeah.
When stuff like that goes wrong, especially on a quiet weather day, I mean, nothing was happening. It was dry. It was mild. It just kind of made it fun.
Although it is a pretty big weather day with Hurricane Michael blowing into Florida.
Now, yeah, so that happened yesterday morning. But, yeah, of course, today is a bigger weather day. And thankfully, we had all of our radar satellite up and running for that coverage today.
You're pretty good at improvising. And when you were in Rockford, you did a very special weather forecast around Christmas time, didn't you?
How do you know about that? Yeah,
it's on YouTube. You put a whole weather forecast together in the iambic pentameter of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Yeah, I did. Very, very dorky, and it's been instilled in me for years now. You can't tell.
That's insane, though. Nobody does that. What made you think? How did you come up with that idea?
I have no idea why I even decided to do that. It was like the day before. You know, you're working the holiday. How many people are watching TV on Christmas morning anyways?
Right.
So might as well have a little fun and get them to tune in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You do such an amazing job. I love the whole WGN-TV news, everyone, meteorologists and everyone. All right. So I have a question for you about the weather, and then we'd like to hear an update on today's weather and Hurricane Michael. But there's something when you put the graphic on the bottom and it has, you know, today's temperature, partly cloudy, high of 83, and then there's a GS20 or a GS40. What does that mean?
GS20, are you talking about the, like, the ticker that rolls at the bottom?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, it might be a G, like a G40, meaning dust.
Oh,
so, like, today we have 25 mile-per-hour wind gusts. So, like, sustained winds 10 to 15, and then G20 would be, like, wind gusts up to 20.
I thought it was, like, a television bingo game that I was missing out on.
I mean, we can make it dual purpose if you want. I'm always down to throw a little game in there.
All right. Well, thank God there's a bunch of Sharpies laying around when your computer graphics go out. You did a great job.
Right, half dried out. But
Morgan Kolkmeier, meteorologist at WGN-TV. What time do you start every morning?
I'm in around 2:30.
Wow. That's a long day, huh?
Yeah, but I'm off pretty early, so it's not bad.
Why did you go into this line of work, Morgan?
Honestly, math. I love math. I always thought I would teach calculus, but didn't really realize how much math was involved in meteorology. And when I found that out, I always loved storms, so I figured I might as well combine the two.
Perfect.
I'm a bit of a weather geek, and I'm very afraid of tornadoes, which is something to be afraid of. You don't have to worry too much about tornadoes today. Hurricane Michael, it's packing a wallop in Florida. What's the update on that?
Right, and tornadoes down there are certainly possible. When you get those outer bands of a hurricane before landfall, that kind of starts screeching along the coast. That's where you can get friction, and tornadoes can spin up in that heavy rain, too. So aside from hurricane, you have to worry about tornadoes down there, too. Otherwise, right now, it's about 40 miles off the coast of Panama City, expected to make landfall as a Category 4. Pretty much worst news, worst case scenario. I mean, as it's moving closer, as it's making landfall, it's actually intensifying. There was just a Hurricane Hunter's mission that showed us the pressure is dropping, which means the storm's getting stronger. So you've got storm surge at 13, 14 feet possible, 12, 13, 14 inches of rain. This area, it's never had a Category 4 hurricane make landfall there, so it's unprecedented, certainly. And I think it's really telling to see all of these storm chasers and hurricane chasers and meteorologists down there actually getting out. And they're saying, you know, it's not even safe for us to be down here. We're going to get out, too. And I think it's rare you see that. You see them leave, too. So it's a scary situation,
and
for sure.
Is that affecting our cold front that's going to kick in later on this afternoon?
No, that's separate, and that's actually, the hurricane should bring more rainfall to the southeast. Our rainfall will come from that cold front. That'll push through and give us the scattered rain, and then the cooler air tomorrow. So we're looking at highs in the 40s tomorrow, upper 40s, low 50s, and probably going to see a little patchy frost on Friday and Saturday morning, and then again into next week. So we definitely have change in weather here, too.
So this is one of those days where there's a 30-plus degree change within a 24-hour period. That's a lot.
Yes, this morning it was the low 70s. Tomorrow morning it'll be 39, 40. So a 30-degree drop when you walk out the door.
Pick those tomatoes, everyone.
Fun. We're in the Midwest for a reason. That's fun.
It's a joke. People always go, if you don't like the weather in Chicago, wait a day. But it's not a joke. It's accurate. It's 100% accurate.
But don't you like that? I mean, I was out in Anaheim, California in July, and I was looking around going, if this was every day, I would be bored with it.
I know. And imagine if it was your career and you had to be there every day just in the same weather. I love that we have all these big changes. I'm a hot weather fan in general, but to me it's just fun to get to see these huge changes and drops and increases.
Morgan, is there a bar that all the Chicago weather people hang out at, and what is its funny name?
If there are, no one's invited me yet.
Oh, all right.
We'll try and find out and let you know.
Let me know, at least. Right. Come on.
All right. Well, great job in your impromptu weather forecast yesterday morning on WGN TV Morning News. You did a great job.
Thanks so much, guys. Good talking to you.
Take care. Morgan Kulkmeyer from Channel 9, from the Weather Department in Channel 9.
You seem to be quite impressed that she did Twas the Night Before
that
Christmas.
That is impressive. That's very impressive.
I have a little of it, but I don't know what happened to it. It was just a full weather forecast done in that same...
That's outstanding.
Well, Christmas Boy, I thought
would
love
it. I want more of that. Yeah, I want to see more of that.
Good morning. Twas the morning before Christmas, and all through the state line, not a snowflake was falling, not even a winter-like sign. The temperatures will be as warm today as a chimney with care, in hopes that a snowstorm soon would be there. The children were sweating, all snug in their beds, as El Nino this year kept them from using their sleds. Now the winds this afternoon.
Weather should rhyme.
That should rhyme.
Morgan Kulkmeyer proves our theory that weather should rhyme.
That was when she was in Rockford on Christmas
beautiful.
Morning.
The music wasn't scary enough. You had to do the demonic laugh.
Well,
that made it even scarier.
It's the only time I can get away with it. The only time of year. And I've done the stupid mistake of buying Halloween candy early.
You already got it?
I already ate it.
Yep. That's why you're not supposed to get it early. It's too tempting.
It's just sitting there, and we all just kind of take one little fun size at a time, and then I have to go rebuy it.
Right. What do you? So you keep it in a centrally located area, and
it's
then you pass
hidden.
By, and you go, what's wrong? What?
No, it's kind of hidden.
Oh, is it?
You have to make an extra effort to find it in the cabinet, but we all...
Somehow you found it. Congratulations.
I'm not the guiltiest of all parties, but I hate that thing of telling you, get the candy you don't like so you won't be tempted. That's a waste of my money. When do you like to buy something you don't like?
That's true.
It That's seems true. Pointless.
Yeah.
What, I'm just going to buy a whole bunch of Necco wafers? Who likes those anyway?
I don't think anyone really likes Necco wafers, but when you see them, you go, I got to see if I still don't like them.
Right.
Take a couple of them. And that's how we learned to enjoy communion as a kid. Although communion doesn't have nine delicious flavors. Communion just has the one basic flavor.
And we battle this every time you bring this up, because communion wafers dissolve on your tongue.
Right.
The Necco wafer doesn't, so you need to find the little flying saucers.
Those are more...
Split them apart, eat the little beads of candy, and then use each side of the flying saucer for communion.
Yeah, that's the same texture, the same density as your Eucharists. True. Right. Why don't families give those out at Halloween?
Just Eucharists?
Yeah. That would be strange, wouldn't it?
Because then you'd have to administer to everyone.
What did you get? Milk Duds, what did you get? A Eucharist.
I got a body of Christ.
I didn't see that coming. What do you think is the cutoff age for kids trick-or-treating, Wendy? When is it too old to be a trick-or-treater, do you think?
16.
16 is the cutoff? Is that about when you stopped?
I don't remember when I stopped, quite honestly. Once you get in high school, I guess you don't trick-or-treat that much anymore. You go to parties.
Right. You're right. My last year was freshman year in high school.
I was
13 or 13, I think. Yeah. Yeah. In Virginia City, in Virginia, of course, that's where Virginia City is.
Really?
Good planning, I think. They say if you're more than 12 years old, you could face a fine or even jail time.
Okay, first of all, that is not going to happen.
That seems extreme.
Jail time.
Yeah, you go to the big house because you're 13 and you were trick-or-treating.
Do you leave your costume on when you're in the pokey?
Yeah, because you get a lot of respect dressed like SpongeBob when you're in jail. Here's the law. This according to Chesapeake, Virginia ordinance. It doesn't say the number. Here's what they say. If any person over the age of 12 years shall engage in the activity commonly known as trick-or-treat... or any other activity of similar character or nature, under any name whatsoever, he or she shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and shall be punished by a fine of not less than $25, nor more than $100, or by confinement in jail for not more than 6 months.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or both. You can go to jail for a half a year for dressing up and trick-or-treating on Halloween in Virginia.
Anyone older than what age?
Over the age of 12.
So a 13-year-old gets arrested, put in jail for 6 months. You don't think that there's going to be the hugest lawsuit ever in the world?
I would imagine, yeah.
I know they're just trying to scare the kids, but it's not going to work.
Right.
Even a fine, you could get a lawyer. Oh, the fees would probably be more than just paying the fine.
Right. Or a kid dressed like a lawyer, because it's Halloween. Just get one of your friends. Tell them you're a lawyer. Wear a nice outfit. I like that they word it. Well, I guess they have to, because it's legal. It's an ordinance, so you have to word it like it was 100 years ago. But I just like the way the whole thing is worded. He or she shall not. It's very biblical for some reason. The city's website is adamant that it won't be actively seeking out violations on these age limits. They are simply trying to prevent teens from getting into trouble. The city...
This is so stupid, because if you're not trick-or-treating, you're going to be getting into trouble.
Right. This gives you a purpose.
Yeah. Well, I can't go trick-or-treating anymore.
Right. I'm going to do bad things now.
I'm going to throw Necco wafers at houses.
Yeah.
Can we get this call in? Greg, sure. What is wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you two?
You like Necco wafers?
I love Necco wafers. The chocolate ones are our best. This, without a doubt, open it up and it's a one time all the way down to the end.
Do you
one
ever,
after the other.
Like if you don't have Necco wafers, do you ever eat chalk?
No.
Never? All right.
Never. Have not done that.
All right. Because they're very similar in flavor. You know that, right?
No, they're not similar in flavor at all. They are similar in texture, but not flavor.
Yeah, there is no flavor in chalk, and I know because I've eaten
right.
it.
Right. Now,
and
even
there's a lot of flavor in chocolate Necco wafers. Yummy, yummy.
They put the chalk in chocolate. What do you think is the worst Necco wafer flavor? Of all the Necco wafer flavors, which is the one that when you get it, you go, ugh, I don't want this one?
Well, I've grown to appreciate it only because I did not used to like black licorice, but I like black licorice, so the black ones I didn't used to like, and I do now.
Yeah. Right.
I don't go out looking for them because you can't find them, but if I see them, I go, oh, my God, buy two rolls.
I think they have them at Five Below. You can go get some.
Do they sell them at Five Below?
That's the only place you can find it, but then you have to... never mind, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say something bad.
All right, well, don't. All right, well, enjoy your Necco wafers.
Hey, if you've got any, send them over to Kalamazoo when you get done with trick-or-treating.
That's fair. We'll do that. Thanks, Greg.
Guys.
Take care.
Just address it, Greg, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
If I can say one good thing about Necco wafers is that when they go stale, it doesn't matter. Like with a lot of candy, if it's stale, you go, I can't eat this, it's stale. With Necco wafers, it actually improves the flavor, gives it flavor somehow. All right, back to our story, already in progress. This is in Virginia City, Chesapeake, Virginia, where they say that if you are over the age of 12 and you are trick-or-treating, you can either pay a fine, their words here, of not less than $25 nor more than $100. So you'll be fined somewhere between $25 and $100. And you could spend 6 months in jail, or both. They're simply trying to prevent teens from getting into trouble. The city says, for example, a 13-year-old safely trick-or-treating with a younger sibling is not going to have any issues. That same child taking pumpkins from porches and smashing them in the street more likely will. They have thrown down, Wendy.
How about let's find the people that are stealing pumpkins and smashing them?
Right.
Because at some point, if you have an older sibling, the parents don't want to take the kids anymore.
Right, 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 right.
So the older sibling should escort the little one, even if they're 16 or 17.
Yes.
Yep. They won't want to do it, but sometimes you can bribe them.
I just like what passes for crime in a city like Chesapeake, Virginia. Like, this isn't a problem in most places, but in Virginia, people are outraged. 13 and 14-year-olds trick-or-treating. This has got to stop. Norfolk is another city in Virginia that has a trick-or-treat code. According to an ordinance, it's a Class 4 misdemeanor if anyone older than the age of 12 is found trick-or-treating. So it's not unprecedented in Virginia. They're just following suit. But good luck to you kids out there who are 13 and 14 and want to snag a couple extra candy bars. You can go to jail.
That is totally unfair.
I agree. All right, a quick break. A lot more show. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet too. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body.
That's Dave Ennett. Last
night you is that Dave Ennett?
Room.
That's
yeah.
fantastic.
She'd smell like you every day.
Was he on The Voice?
Brand new. I'm in love with your body.
No, he was on the Steve Cochran show.
Oh. That's excellent.
Which, by the way, Meet the Press's Chuck Todd joins the Steve Cochran show, maybe to sing a duet with Dave Ennett.
Oh, they'll be doing a song together?
That's good. Tomorrow at 6:40. He'll break down the list of candidates most likely to replace outgoing ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley.
We just told you that in parts of Virginia, the Chesapeake area of Virginia, if you're over the age of 12, you could face a fine or even jail time if you go trick-or-treating over the age of 12. Here's a question for you. What is the time cutoff? Let's say where you live, I guess for most people it's 9 o'clock, right, on a weeknight?
No, that's what's driving me crazy. I'm at hauntedillinois.com, and the trick-or-treating hours vary from town to town, which I think there should be a universal time. But now in Cary, Illinois, trick-or-treating, I guess the Halloween walk is October 27th. And in Gurnee, they're doing trick-or-treating hours on October 27th.
Why? Is that
I don't know.
That might be Saturday, right?
Yeah.
That's
but
why.
That's not Halloween.
Right. I think it should be on Halloween.
October 31st is a Wednesday. It's 3 to 7 in Cary, Illinois. Palos Hills, 3 to 7:30. Oregon, Illinois, 5 to 8. It varies so much.
The last few years in Evanston, my daughters are now too old to trick-or-treat, but the last few years that they did trick-or-treat, it was a three-hour, it was like, I can't remember if it was 5 to 8 or 6 to 9, but it was just 3 hours, and everyone was okay with it. But I remember when we were kids, we would start trick-or-treating when school was over. Like, on our way home, we would trick-or-treat whatever the path was on the way home, quickly change into a different costume, and then just trick-or-treat until 9 or 10 o'clock.
I did it all day, too.
7 hours.
In fact, you'd bring a bag on your way home from school.
Yeah.
I'm a student.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Dressed like me.
Evanston, by the way, 4 to 7.
Yeah, 3 hours is not enough.
It is.
Really? If you were a kid, though, would you think that? If you were a kid and you hear 3 hours, you get furious. That's not enough.
I guess.
What is the cutoff time-wise? All right, so let's say your city ordinance says 8 o'clock is the end. Okay, and your doorbell rings at 8:15. What do you do?
I'll do it.
Yeah, but what's your time limit?
You know, here's the problem. Since these towns have varied times, I'm trying to look what LaGrange, Illinois is. You're 4 to 7 in Evanston.
Yeah, 4 to 7, right? Does that sound right?
I think we're 4 to 8.
Yeah, it's a little better.
It gives you more time, but then at 8 o'clock, the cutoff time in one town, it could be different. So I understand, and I know that children come from other neighborhoods that maybe it's not safe to go trick-or-treating, so they pack in the car and they go to various neighborhoods.
Right, right, right.
So they're not aware of the trick-or-treating hours. I don't mind going 15, even a half an hour over, but say it ends at 8 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock, I'm still getting doorbell rung. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Although Jim will still answer the door. He's like, Wendy, it's Halloween.
One day a year.
I'm pointing to my watch going, hours, trick-or-treating hours. You can't just go all night. One year there was someone who came at 11 o'clock.
I think maybe the lag time could go a half an hour. Like, whatever their cutoff is, I would give them an extra half hour.
But then people will push that.
Mm.
I'm 32 minutes late, and then you're like, okay, and then 40 minutes. All right.
I think because I used to work at a video store, and we closed at 10, and our busiest time was from 5 minutes to 10 to 10. Like, all night long, we didn't get as many customers as we did in those last 5 minutes, so I think that's still in my head, you know?
That's not right either.
So I'll give people a half an hour. I think a half an hour is the most extra time I would give.
All right,
but
you've
had people at 11 on a 9 o'clock cutoff?
One time.
That's too late.
What was their excuse? They were teenagers. And they just were out doing stuff. They wanted candy.
That's no good.
Linda, you have an idea that's not going to be very popular. What is it?
Yes, I think they should stop door-to-door trick-or-treating.
Stop it altogether?
Yes.
Oh.
It's against everything you teach your children.
Right.
Don't take food from strangers. Don't open the door to strangers. If every parent paid $5 and their kid went to something for the community,
yeah.
To your point, Linda,
it's always made me laugh that all year long you tell your kids those things exactly. If a stranger offers you candy, under no circumstances take it. But on Halloween, you hit as many houses as you can. Do you know those people? Nope, never seen them before. That's fine. Go on up. That is kind of unusual, isn't it?
Right. And years ago, when my kids were young, we used to take the food up to the hospital and get x-rayed.
Yeah, I remember.
They still offer that. For communities, then the parents could pay $5, which means they would save a lot of money instead of buying all that candy. And they could trick-or-treat with the friends that aren't necessarily in their neighborhood. They can have something in their community.
Some good ideas.
And nobody has to worry about what time kids come to their house. And there's a lot of senior people that don't like trick-or-treating, because I've worked at a nursing home, and their families were like, they never like trick-or-treating because they don't want strangers coming to their house. They're afraid to open the door.
I agree.
Right.
And that makes me sad because, you know, imagine if, you know, you have a bad hip or something and you have to keep getting up.
Right.
So I know right. The universal thing is to turn your lights off after the, you know, the time limit, but nobody
people
cares.
Don't respect that. Yeah.
Right.
And no one, so, I mean, yeah. All right.
And a lot of, and some of the communities, the sex offenders have to go to the police station that night. It would save a lot of problems if they just eliminated the door-to-door. The world is all about change. Hmm. Kids will get used to it.
Wait, the sex offenders go to the police station on Halloween?
Yes.
Is there a little party?
Well, no. They're not allowed to be anywhere near kids, so
exactly.
The doorbell keeps ringing. It's a violation of their terms, so they can't be
right.
home.
So they have to go to the police station? I never knew that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Well, Linda, thank you.
It may save a lot of headaches for a lot of people.
It seems unpopular, but you make a lot of good points.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Happy Halloweeny. That's always fun to say,
Is that fun to say? Yeah,
yeah. Kind of is.
Let's do this. We'll take a break, and then there's a whole bunch more show.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
The forecast now from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. In Bill and Wendy, this is a special one just for you.
Oh, excellent.
Today will not be a bore. Cloudy showers and a high of 74. As for tonight, expect winds to be light. Showers there could be, and you may turn blue. The low is expected to be just 42. Tomorrow, Sunday, windy it will be. No rain and a high of 50. Right now, it's
like
70.
A young Rod McKeown. Wendy and I are both crying for different reasons.
whoever is the one that is crying out of sheer joy, I want them to go first to tell me.
All right. No, we're not going to say.
Bill's the one talking.
All right. Well, it is 72 at O'Hare, 72 at Midway, 72 in East Chicago, 68 along Chicago's lakefront. The winds are coming out of the south at 15 miles per hour. I'm Eric Rung in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And Eric Rung is referring to Morgan Kolkmeyer, who was on with us, WGN TV meteorologist, who when she was in Rockford Christmas morning, she thinks no one's watching, so she did a whole weather forecast lined up with 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Good job, Eric.
Now it's taken off. Thank you, Eric.
I like it. It's
fun. Great.
All right. Our semi-regular guest, Dr. John Duffy, is with us, clinical psychologist. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How
are you
guys?
Semi-regular?
I feel semi-regular, sure.
You look great. Whatever you're doing, keep it up.
You're on every other Wednesday. I still don't know how to say that. Bi-weekly? Bi-monthly?
I think bi-weekly is right,
yeah.
But we can Google that.
All right. Yeah. Our every 14-day guest. Let's just say it that way.
We were talking off the air about politics and differences of thoughts on where you stand. I was listening to a couple of kids talking about things, and they were questioning America. And I wanted to jump in and say, I'm proud to be an American. I love America. This is where I live. This is what I'm most proud of. But there are some younger kids that don't feel proud to be an American because of the climate that's going on.
This is absolutely true. You brought this up to me a while ago, and I've started asking kids about how they feel about that. And there is a divide. I would say, honestly, that most kids I've talked to would say they are not particularly proud these days to be American.
That bothers me a little bit.
Oh, I totally get it. I mean, I totally get it. Why does it bother you?
Because this is where we are, this is what we have, and you love what you have, and you just hope that things are going to get better.
Right, right. So what I hear from kids, in light of that, is that they feel like our current systems of government and education and welfare are unfair and biased and lack compassion. On the whole, that's what I'm hearing from kids.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, so they would argue that they feel lucky to be Americans, but not particularly proud. Yeah, so that's the fine line I'm finding is like, this isn't anything I accomplished. I'm lucky on the whole, although one girl did say yesterday, I don't feel particularly lucky today, which was an interesting comment. But on the whole, they feel lucky and fortunate to be well off and American as opposed to being in a third world country or something like that. Yeah, so they feel grateful.
You can easily see, though, where a kid would be disillusioned by the process because I'm an adult and I'm disillusioned by the process.
Absolutely.
If you're a smart kid and you look at what's going on and how combative it's been, you're going to be disillusioned, right?
Yep, yep. And what kids tell me is that if they feel like there's an element of empowerment in what they believe, you know, if their beliefs can derive change, then they would feel more proud. But they're not certain that that's the case. They're very, very skeptical of the system at large.
What do you tell them when they say something like that?
It's hard not to validate, first of all, what they have to say, because it's really, really well thought through. Kids are not frivolous about their feelings about politics the way we might have been when we were kids. You know,
I didn't care about
it at all. Right, right.
And no one told anyone who they voted for. Your parents didn't tell you. No one said that.
No, this is true. This is true.
It's things totally have changed different. A lot.
Absolutely. Right. So now kids are talking about where they stand. And my hope is that, you know, that discourse, which is hard to get back into. Sometimes kids end up arguing about things that they disagree about and it can shift friendships and shift relationships. But at least they're thoughtful about it and they're talking about it in ways that I think maybe our generation when we were that age may not have.
Yeah, it's, you know, we all have some friends that think differently than we do about politics. And so I just completely avoid it because, you know, someone you've been friends with for many years, it's not worth breaking up a friendship over. But I certainly know it's not going to end pretty when we discuss politics. So let's talk about something else.
Right, right. And I agree. I think a lot of us feel that way.
Sometimes family members.
Right. What's interesting about kids is sometimes they'll make, especially this time of a voting year, their entire social media presence about a particular issue, right? Or about a particular politician. And I think that's kind of cool. I think they're bringing something back that's a little bit of a lost art. And if there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of anxiety about what anybody else is going to think of it, again, most of them would argue, I know I'm talking to a fairly friendly crowd on the whole.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I've curated my followers to some extent.
And you can discuss something. I know some people that will not stop with posts or when you see them. You're not going to change anybody's mind. So I don't know why they fight so hard for what they believe in. It's like, okay, you think what you think. I think what I think. And it should end there, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It keeps going.
There's no doubt about that. And that's something that I think is fundamentally missing from our whole discussion about politics is the idea of cooperation and middle ground. And so it creates this enormous divide and we're all looking at each other sideways, wondering if we're an us or a them, which is a real problem, right? Because the us and them thinking is a massive part of the problem with politics today.
John, if you watch any of the news shows, any of the news stations, so your CNNs, your MSNBCs, your Foxes, you pick the station, most of their primetime programming consists of talking head boxes yelling at each other. There's
right.
a topic that's mentioned, and then he's yelling at her, and she's yelling at him, and everyone's yelling at each other. So if you're a kid and you realize that that's what the options are on TV, is adults yelling at each other over almost everything, where's the sanity?
The beauty of what kids do with that is they'll opt out of that typically, and they'll go to Snapchat or Reddit or something where they can talk to each other about these things. So they may engage in a CNN, MSNBC, or a Fox News for a period of time, but they actually have their own ways now of communicating about politics, and they do that readily. So one cue to politicians is if you're looking to engage young voters, Snapchat, Instagram, and you know, and Reddit are probably more effective than trying to make some statement on Chicago Tonight or MSNBC because kids just aren't watching that. The Daily Show is a more effective method.
Right.
Yeah. And I was surprised to see there was a Ted Cruz sketch on Saturday Night Live that was pretty funny. And it was weird for me to see my teenage boys cracking up at that. Like, to even know what's going on in the world, I swear to God, when I was that age, I had no idea.
And this is what we don't give credit, give kids credit for, is that they have some fundamental understanding of issues and what certain politicians stand for. And, you know, I think it's partly our job to engage them in discussions about that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's so one-sided that they don't necessarily understand the other side of things. As just another cue for parents, the most likely factor in getting your kids out to vote or getting them politically active is if you are. So modeling is still the most important thing, despite all the news channels and all the other chatter that you hear. Your actions matter more than anything else.
When all these kids came forward who had been involved in one of the shootings, one of the many shootings that we had, and said, we're sick of this, we want to do something about it, and their voices were very, very strong, does that make a big difference with kids? I hope it does.
Huge difference with kids. So I don't work with many kids who don't follow a number of those Parkland students.
Yeah.
And in the wake of what those students have done, there is an array of other politically active young people with a whole hundreds of thousands of followers. The kids are starting to follow and develop a kind of a political point of view.
Good.
So, no, that is good news, and that is happening, and kids are very engaged in that.
We are going to take a quick break, and then I would like to discuss with you the whole Taylor Swift thing, where she has inspired people. Maybe she pushed her agenda a little bit, but in my opinion, she was just saying, do your homework, do your research. And it was a phenomenal amount of people who registered to vote, and yesterday was the last day.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about Taylor Swift coming up with Dr. John Duffy. All right, Dr. John Duffy is with us. What's your website if people want to get in touch with you?
The very clever name, drjohnduffy.com. Oh. I had to fight for that one.
That's a good name, John.
Thank you so
similar
much.
To your own.
Clearly.
It worked out nicely.
It did.
We got a text that I just want to very briefly touch on. We were talking about a lot of young people today don't feel exactly proud to be an American.
Yeah.
And someone said along the line, I can't find it exactly, but if your kids say they're not proud to be an American, have them go to another country and come back and then tell us how proud they really are. In my heart, I agree with that. Like, just
right.
Shut up and be a proud American. But the way things are going, I'm an embarrassed American.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be able to speak their mind. If you just say, like in the old days, you know, a kid should be seen, not heard, give your kids a chance to speak up and give a reason why.
Well, I would say, you know, I think there's something uniquely American about somebody who is 17, 18 years old being able to speak their mind honestly about the way their government works. So I actually think that is not the worst thing for the country, for young people not just to go along to get along and do what they're told to do and believe what they're told to believe, but to question their authority a little bit and, you know, and have their point of view at least heeded and understood and heard.
John, Wendy and I discussed this a little bit yesterday, but you weren't here, so let's share it with you now. Taylor Swift, extremely popular, you already know that, came out the other day and said she normally votes for women, but there's a woman right now running there in Tennessee, and she doesn't see eye to eye with them with her on several issues.
Right.
What she was mainly doing is saying to people, you really need to get out there and vote. The deadline's coming up. Get out there and vote. What kind of effect do you think this has?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to some young people about this as well, and young people are affected by their heroes. This
yeah.
Taylor Swift thing is having an impact on, even outside of Tennessee, here in Illinois, on whether young kids are willing to register to vote and who they might vote for. That goes not just for Taylor Swift. Kanye West made a political statement. I've worked with a couple of kids who've been swayed by what he had to say
sure.
in a way that's going to motivate them to vote. So I don't think we can underestimate the influence of some of the more popular people in the world.
But then you get people
going.
Saying that's not fair, that they're being manipulated by their heroes. Do you see it as that or not?
I think that doesn't give kids enough credit that they're thoughtful. You know. So does it ignite them to think about what's going on? I think it does. Does it necessarily drive what they do? No. There are plenty of kids I've worked with who are critical of Taylor Swift and say, you know, boy, you seem to be playing both sides here. And, you know, like questioning what her motive is to come come out now and take this stand. So kids are more discerning, I think, than we give them credit for.
Yeah.
And didn't Taylor Swift just win the most number of American Music Awards last night? She holds the record. So perfect timing for her. And in her acceptance speech, she also mentioned going out there and voting. And, you know, I heard John Williams discussing this yesterday. In a way, Taylor Swift is saying she's endorsing a candidate, basically.
Right.
And perhaps that'll sway some people to do it and vote for the same candidate. But that's in Tennessee. There are worldwide people and nationwide, definitely, are fans of Taylor Swift. I think she was saying, do your homework, find out about a candidate. And because she wanted to go for the woman, found out it wasn't the woman for her, didn't agree with her views.
If you read what Taylor Swift wrote, you know, verbatim, she is endorsing a candidate, but it's just a candidate in Tennessee. But you're right. Effectively, what she's saying is be an informed voter. You know, go out, do your research, and vote your conscience. And she's not trying to dictate what your conscience ought to be.
That's a solid message.
It is. It is.
A very solid message.
And I like to think that the right things are going to happen if more of us vote and more of us engage.
Dr. John Duffy on the line with us. We're almost out of time, but Sean has called in and has a comment or question. Sean, what's going on?
Oh, hi, Wendy, Bill. I like this episode with Dr. Duffy. It's great. I'm really impressed with the younger generation, even the millennials, because of I just think they're very discerning and very smart. But like my son, for instance, has a number of friends who are from families that are very conservative, and he has friends who are from families who are very liberal. My wife and I are in the middle, and it's so cool on how they really they enjoy each other's companies. They actually appreciate each other's opinions. And then whenever there's a get together and there's two parents, usually one of me, that's sort of discussing Trump in a heated sort of way, it'll be my son or one of the boys that'll come up to us and just tell us to just chill out. You know, just get over it, chill out, don't let him ruin your day. And it's like his attitude and their attitude is, don't let it stress you out, don't let it ruin your week. And, you know, yes, he's not a fan of Trump, but at the same time, it's not like he's going to carry this around with him. And in the meantime, his friends are like super conservative, and his friends are also super liberal, and they're in between, and they get over it. They don't let that interfere with their lives. And I have just so much respect for that, and I'm very impressed with
that. We should learn from these kids.
Yes. Why are they able to handle it, John, better than adults? How are kids maintaining this better than adults do?
I think kids value their relationships. And Sean, I'm curious to hear if you agree with that. I think they really value their relationships and their friendships. And they're open to the idea that, hey, we might think differently from one another. And maybe I can be open-minded enough to learn something from you. And maybe you can be open-minded enough to learn something from me. And somewhere along the line in adulthood, that open-mindedness gets sealed up, and then we kind of batten down and hold on to our ideologies. But kids are developing ideology and the way they think, and I love the idea that they're willing to listen to somebody with an opposing point of view and still maintain a good relationship with that person and respect for that person, because I think they recognize that they come to each other's point of views honestly.
I agree. I think it's their generation. They are not from, like, my folks' generation, who is, like you said, Wendy, kids are to be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
The kids are allowed to express themselves, and they're more open and free to do so. And I think that's really helpful in the way they interact with each other. So, and I think that just is one piece of it. So thank you so much. And thanks for this segment that you guys do.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Children are our future. You know that.
Yeah. Sing a song about it, Wendy. See how that goes.
No, I'm good.
Right.
He's Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist, a certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert. His book is The Available Parent. It's awesome. DrJohnDuffy.com. And you have a podcast called Better with your wife, Julie Duffy. You can find it on WGN Plus, although we have to get that updated.
Right.
And wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Thank you for coming up.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
We'll get you some news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. Look who's here, Wendy. It's TV Tony. Tony Fulmer from the Chalet.
Oh, gosh.
Right there in Wilmette, right across from beautiful Panda Express.
Oh, can you stop doing that?
He, all of a sudden, he's a big TV star. He still comes by to see us. Thank you, Tony, for doing that.
It's my pleasure.
We've seen you on TV, the WGN TV Morning News.
Yes.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You showed up on there. Fear the Walking Dead.
We're through taping for the season.
Are you done for the season? Yeah, strong season. Yeah. Strong season.
Thank you.
I'm always very excited when Tony Fulmer comes in because I took a year off of gardening with a new puppy who trampled everything or ate everything. But it's now the time to get your yard and your perennials, and you got a lot of getting ready for winter, don't you?
It's time to get your landscape order in your business in order. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot to do. And, you know, as it gets colder, it only gets a little bit less pleasant. So I've already started.
This is all dictated by the weather. Is that what tells you when it is and isn't time? Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. First of all, I can bet it's time to harvest all your tomatoes and cucumbers and such because we're going to have a huge temperature drop and frost coming our way by the end of the week.
Based on the weather forecast, yes, you probably want to get out there and get those harvested either in the next day or two. Absolutely.
What can you leave out there in the way of vegetables after frost? Are there any ones that...
Oh, yes. All the cold crops. So the cabbages, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, the lettuces are all fine.
All the stuff that I don't like, Tony.
You don't like lettuce?
Leave it out there. Oh, I like lettuce. I do like lettuce. I do.
It's kind of hard to do a salad without.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't like broccoli?
No.
You and George Bush.
No. Don't care for it.
I like it. All right. So people have been wondering about seeding their lawns. Do you do it because then the snow comes? Should you do it now? Did we miss the window? What's going on with lawns?
The optimal time to seed lawns is August 15th to September 15th. Now, in a year like last year when it stayed warm so late, there was a little bit of margin for error and you could go all the way probably up until the 1st of October and be all right. The problem is if you put your grass seed down now and it stayed warm enough that it started germinating, it has this little teeny, teeny, tiny root. And if that ground freezes and that root is damaged by cold temperature, it just collapses. And so
it's not worth the trouble.
It's not worth the trouble. Now, you can, and I guess this is, I understand this is a trick with golf course supervisors.
Yeah.
They do a lot of dormant seeding. So after we get really cold weather and the ground freezes and it starts snowing, they will actually go out and throw the seed on top of the snow.
And really?
That works?
Yes. And then, well,
don't the birds eat it?
There are literally 1 million seeds, Kentucky bluegrass seeds, in a pound of Kentucky blue. So the little bit that a bird would get is nothing. But when the thaws come, it takes the seed down into the little cracks and crevices, and it just waits there until spring, until the soil temperatures are right, and then it starts growing.
This works on golf courses, but would it work at somebody's house, do you think? It should.
Probably
right?
not. They're so different. They're so very different. Probably not. So I don't know why I even told that.
That's a good story, why though. Is a golf course different? It's more well manicured.
Is that why, Tony? I don't know the answer to that.
It would grow anywhere, right?
Yes.
I don't know if you're kidding or not.
This is Bill that we're talking about here, so.
I don't like broccoli.
Okay.
All right.
Point taken.
All right.
Garden cleanup. Now's the time to do some things. I have Annabelle hydrangeas, and I leave them all winter. I leave the flowers on because I like the way that looks with the snow.
Yes.
I have cone flowers that also have that happen. Can I just leave these things? Do I have to deadhead them or cut them off?
This really gets down to a matter of personal taste.
And grasses, what do you do with those?
Well, that's just it. You have to make a kind of an aesthetic judgment about what is pretty to you. I personally am absolutely certifiably an obsessive, gardener compulsive. Mm-hmm. And so I want it done. Because to me, fall is a slower time of the year to do things than spring.
Yeah.
In the spring, I want to get out and start planting. And sometimes if April is really, really wet, you can't get out there and do these things. And it gets tedious. So I'd rather do it now while it's drier and it's a little bit warmer. So, for example, the Annabelle, absolutely I would leave that up because the flower heads look so nice in winter snow.
They really do.
Yeah. And the thing about your coneflower is that that's great. You'll have finches eating out there in the garden
over
the
winter.
Eating the
seeds as it dries up.
Yeah. Now, the problem is, the thousands that they miss may turn out to be little seedlings, so you may have coneflower sod next spring all around where that plant is. So there's that to think about, too.
Why does Goldenrod do that? I bought it at, there was like a garage sale, and there was a lovely woman there who had a bunch of plants that she had dug up, and they were for sale. I bought some goldenrod because it's beautiful. It's all over my yard. How did that happen?
Aren't you... Well, that was Mother Nature doing what she does with goldenrod. So,
yep, that's what
garage sale goldenrod, beware, Wendy.
pay top dollar for your goldenrod, right?
So what? If I got it at the chalet, it wouldn't have spread throughout my yard?
Many of the varieties we have are selected hybrids that are sterile.
Yeah, because this is like a native wildlife, right? It's more like a weed.
Well... It's a native plant. Let's call it a native plant because a weed by definition is any plant growing out of place. So it sounds like you have some garage sale goldenrod that's now gotten weedy on you.
I bought some garage sale gold as well.
No, that's not
going to
pan out for you. You get what you pay for, Tony. We've said that in the past, right?
That's the motto I live by.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
That's right.
312-981-7200 is the phone number to call. And Mike has a question for Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery. And there you go. How's it going, Mike?
Good, good. Hi. First time on your station with you guys. I really enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have a question for Tony.
Yes, Mike.
Tony, I would like to go out and prune my Rose of Sharon and my lilac, deadwood and branches I don't want. Is that cool to do now, or do I have to wait?
If you literally have branches that are dead, anytime you have deadwood on there, you can go ahead and cut that out. As far as if you do any other kind of maintenance pruning on a lilac, it's going to be problematic because those bloom before June 1st, so they have already set next year's flower buds. So any pruning that you do, you may be taking off next year's potential flowers. So in a perfect world, you would prune those within 4 weeks after they bloom next year. Now, it's different with the Rose of Sharon because that blooms later in the summer. So you can go ahead and prune that now, or you could prune that in April. But with the lilacs, any pruning you do now could be detrimental.
Mike, I did this one time with my lilac bush, and it's very large. Honestly, the next year I had one flower on it because I cut all the buds off. So don't do it.
Okay, thanks for the tip.
You're welcome.
I've got two bushes that are over 50 years old, I have three bushes, and they're 50 years old, and the Rose of Sharon is like 30 years old. So they've really got a setting, and I just wanted to know if it was safe to, you know, kind of trim it, make it look better. If I take the branch off of the lilac, I'm only losing the flowers that would be on that branch, right, Tony?
That is correct, but I guess I misunderstood you. I thought you said you had dead branches on there.
Well, I do in some spots in the inner part of the bush is gigantic, and inside there's some dead wood in there.
Well, you always take off dead wood. Anytime there's dead wood on there, you want to take that off.
Mike, we got to run. Thank you so much for listening.
Sorry. Yeah, you gave me a lot of time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
You appreciate it.
That's Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery and Wilmette, right across from the Panda Express.
Stop
Make
it.
A day out of it. We'll take a quick break. If you have any questions for Tony, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Tony Fulmer is here. He's answering your questions. He is the chief horticulturist at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. I've been told to tell you it may or may not be anywhere near Panda Express. So enjoy yourselves.
Get mock orange chicken at that neighboring.
Back to gardening with mock orange. Okay.
I love the smell of a mock orange tree, but you get it for 2 seconds, and then it's just this green bush.
It's what we call a grandmother shrub that doesn't have, you know, it was popular decades ago.
Oh.
And because the fragrance is coming back, but if you have one, you know, you want to tuck it somewhere back in the garden because it doesn't have a lot of seasonal interest when it's not in bloom.
That is a good idea, though, just to fill up a spot that you don't, it's not front and center.
If you're really, really hooked on the fragrance of it and you have to have one, I tuck it
way in the back.
Way in the back.
Yeah. Kathy has called
back by
us.
The alley.
She has a question, not about a mock orange tree, but a different fruit tree. How's it going, Kathy?
Hi, it's going great. I bought a Chanticleer pear because I love the white flowers and I needed something whose leaves fell off last because I was trying to block.
That's
the
a good
light
start. That's a very good start.
Of a street light. Okay, but it's so messy. These little things fall off.
The fruit,
and
yes.
They get, they get all over the car, and it's awful. Did I make a terrible mistake? Should I have bought, is there a different kind of Chanticleer pear I should have gotten?
Well, there are a number of different ornamental pears. Chanticleer is just one that was selected for its particular shape, but they all have the typical white flower. There is some variety in the leaves, but they're beautiful dark green leaf, great fall color, but they do all have that little hard fruit that's a little bit larger than a piece of pea gravel. So you have got to look forward to every year.
I thought it was a male-female thing, maybe.
No,
you know,
no. Not with pears. No, it is not. So you,
nice pear.
You have that.
What'd you say?
I said nice pear.
So I'm stuck is the bottom line, right?
I'll just say you have a Chanticleer pear now.
Okay, thank you for your time. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Sorry, Kath, it does get messy. I have mulberries bushes in our backyard.
At least with the pear, it's a little hard fruit. With the mulberry, we all know about that.
What does that mean? Is it a male, female? I don't understand what that means.
There are plants that have male flowers and female flowers on separate plants. So, for example, like hollies, if you want to plant a holly and you want those beautiful red berries, you buy a female and you have to buy at least one male so that the pollen from the male can pollinate the female. Otherwise, you won't have berries
from
the female.
Can you tell by looking at it? How do you determine if it's
You read the tag that says male or female.
Oh, all right. That's, I guess, a good way.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. We got a text. Can I move perennials now like a Japanese anemone?
We're sort of on the cusp of moving things. So I would say the really hardy things like peonies and daylilies, a Japanese anemone would qualify as that. I would do it as soon as you possibly can. And then once the ground freezes, because you're moving it a little bit late, make sure you mulch it to keep it anchored in the ground.
How about, can we still plant tulip bulbs this year? Why wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
It's time.
Absolutely. It's perfect time. Because typically we say we don't want people putting them in before the soil temperatures, not air temperatures, before the soil temperatures are 55 and below. And so if you don't have a soil thermometer like Bill.
I have one on me.
I absolutely.
Give me a utility belt. It's right here, just in case.
Next to your slide rule?
Yes.
Yeah. A good rule of thumb is once we've had the first killing frost, then it's time to plant the bulbs. So it is absolutely, you're not late at all.
Could Bill tell us again, why are we throwing broccoli on the golf course?
Oh, it's a long story.
It's not really what we said.
Text me. I'll,
we've got time, Bill.
Yeah, oh, it's such a long story.
This is a great text because this has affected me and plenty of our neighbors. I have mushrooms all over the place in my lawn. What can be done about them?
Okay.
Is it because all the rain and dampness that we've gotten?
Well, it's that, but this is a question that we have in the spring and we have it in the fall, and what that means is somewhere in that soil is decaying organic matter. So usually it's a tree or a shrub has died some time ago or been removed and the roots are starting to decay, so it's decaying organic matter. And so there's nothing to spray, there's nothing you can do. If it's really bugging you, then you can go out and you can try and dig it up and get that decaying organic matter out of there, but there are roots that are down there decaying. So it could be a multi-year process. If it was a big tree that was cut down 10 or 15 years ago and you have roots this big, it could be years of mushrooms growing.
But why did they just start like 2 years ago?
Because the wood has decayed to that point now where it can support fungal life.
Fungal life.
Fungal life.
Didn't you used to get your vitamins there?
Yeah, fungal life I did.
Until they went out of business, yeah.
Yeah,
it's sad. Panda's in there now.
As far as pruning, should forsythia and other flowering bushes be treated the same way as lilacs?
The general rule is anything that blooms before June 1st is blooming on the growth that it made July, August, and September. So right now the flower buds are sitting on there, so if you go out and prune now, just like the lilac, you'd be taking off next year's potential flowers.
All right, and one more question. Ron has called us, 312-981-7200. Tony Fulmer on the line with us. Ron, what's your question?
Hey, hi, hon. Love you guys. Hey, Tony, I have apple trees, in my backyard.
Okay.
And I get the apples, and then they all fall off.
Okay.
And it does it every year. All my trees do the same thing.
Masking tape, Tony?
Okay. Masking tape is a good thing. One of the things that you have to watch out for is that, how old are the trees?
Oh, some of them are about about 10 years old, and some of them are like 3 or 4 years old.
Okay, on the younger ones, it's probably more expected than a mature tree. Sometimes it's an age function. The other thing is that if a tree is, if we've had a mild winter and we have a great spring and there's a lot of flowers and the weather is dry and the bees are working and all those flowers get pollinated, the plant simply can't support all of the apples that are on there. So it will do what is called thinning. And so the plant, if you don't go out and physically remove apples so that you only have one every 6 inches, the tree will do that for you. Now, there are also insects and diseases, but a lot of times in years where it's a heavy fruit crop, it's just a matter of the plant is thinning itself naturally. It just can't support all those apples.
Ron, you're going to have a lot of work to do, it appears. Thank you so much for calling. And one last text. Will those mushrooms we spoke of hurt if a dog eats them? And do you have a listing on the Chalet website of poisonous plants for dogs?
We do not. Have that list up on our website at this point. And the you can't make that generalization. Many of these things, some are not toxic, some are very toxic.
Some are hallucinogenic. Will your dog be tripping, I guess, is what I want to know.
My dog went to a fish concert, Tony. What's wrong with him?
There we have it.
Yes, all right. You have so much fun with us, don't you?
I look forward to this. Every 2 months.
All right.
Well, thank you. Because we have you on every month, so that says a lot.
Well, 1 out of 2 ain't bad.
That's not bad at all.
50%.
Yeah. Tony Fulmer, he is the chief horticulturist at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, 3132 Lake Avenue. That's the exact address. You don't need landmarks.
It's by Panda Express, though, Wendy. It's right across the street.
ChaletNursery.com is the best way for people to reach you, and their website.
That is correct.
Thank you so much. Happy growing.
Thank you.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening on WGN Radio.